Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
Hottest day of the year so far. So if you want to make the most of our little mini heatwave over the next few days, the Home Squad are with us this afternoon to help you get your garden, your backyard, whatever you call it, ready. If you want to redesign it, get your questions in. 087 1400 106 is the WhatsApp number. Brian Burke, RTE Super Garden Judge and Woody's DIY and Garden Expert, is with us in studio, as is Hazel Burton from The Home Reset. You're both very welcome. Hazel, for people who are trying to make the most of the good weather now over the next few days, where do you start? Like, how big of a project is this?
It could be a big one. If you are someone who has been dumping stuff in that shed for the last few months, if you've nowhere else for it to go and it's become this very overwhelming task, what better thing to do on a lovely day like today and get it all out?
Yeah.
Empty the whole place.
I did that myself last week. I'm doing work on the house at the moment, and sure, now there's another skip has to be ordered as a result of it.
Like, well, and I think we can probably talk a bit about that as well, because there are probably very sustainable ways that we can move things on from what's currently living in our sheds. You know, My Waste Study is a really good resource online to check if there are different types of materials and you're unsure. You know, but even down to, like, I know my father-in-law did his decking and then used the extra wood for planters. Yep. And men's sheds are always welcome, you know, always would be delighted with such a donation. So just having to think about the exit strategy as well, and not just going straight for the skip. Although sometimes it's unavoidable, I know.
You haven't seen it, so you might change your mind.
I'm on my way.
Brian, what about the main things people can do in the garden at this early stage?
Well, it's early. It's late March. I mean, today now is, you won't get a better incentive to get out into the garden than today. Blue skies, beautiful, beautiful spring sunshine. I mean, there's four or five major things that you can just kind of ease yourself into with, like cultivating your beds, getting your beds ready, get in there, turn over the soil, prevent weed seed from taking a hold. Maybe do the first cut on your lawn if you have it. Maybe think about converting some of your lawn into wildflower. A lot of people are doing that. Biodiversity principles, the kind of knowledge, mainstream knowledge around them has escalated massively in the last number of years. So people are getting more into that. We're thinking about now gardening with a lighter touch, a lower impact, gardening for pollinators. Think about maybe a pond in your back garden. That's a good one to plan at this time of the year. Yeah. Now, the impediment that a lot of people cite with me is, my garden is tiny. Where can I put a pond? But a pond can be anything. You can buy a little plastic insert in Woody's or a hardware store, and you can dig it out, slip it into the ground. A pond will provide sustenance and a habitat for frogs, for small amphibians, for insects. Insects will attract birds. Birds spread seeds. Small mammals will come. It's all about creating a little mini ecosystem in your back garden. You know. So I would encourage people, when you're getting out, to think ecologically, think environmentally, think sustainably, and go come at your garden this year from that angle more so than anything.
Right, listener questions. Keep them coming in to us. 087 1400 106 is the number. Hazel and Brian both here to answer them. This listener, Hazel, recently emptied out their shed. Loads of old paint cans. I'm wondering, what can I do with them? Because as far as I know, I can't put them in the bin.
Correct. No, they need to go to the dump, to the civic amenity. You can't even put those in a skip. But again, have a chat with local. Like, I mean, if I would try and keep some of each colour that's in your home, just smaller pots, use the label maker to say the colour so you remember hallway, whatever, brilliant white. And anything additional, speak to local community groups, the men's sheds, the women's sheds, and just see if there is a project ongoing that they could use that paint for. I mean, it's if it's not, you know, sitting there for hundreds of years, it's probably fine to reuse. So have a chat locally with your community groups, parishes, whatever, football teams. You know, what are they doing? What's happening in there?
I didn't know you couldn't put them in the skip.
No, you can't.
I think if the can is dried, if the paint is completely 100%, if the can is empty
and
the paint is completely dry, you can. But if there's any liquid in it,
you can't. It's like anything hazardous, and it's so important. Like, when you are doing your declutter, to just keep those things to one side.
What's the best pet-friendly artificial grass, Brian? This listener has been dealing with a puppy who just wants to dig and loves the rain, and has my heart broke cleaning after all of the rain. Any suggestions?
Pet-friendly artificial grass. Well, by definition, it's all pet friendly because it's all porous. It will all dissipate water. Now, a little bit, artificial grass kind of divides opinion. You know, people who are into gardening and sustainability, etc., would run a mile from it.
But oh, yeah.
I have a much more pragmatic approach to artificial grass. I don't mind the small swatch of it. If it means that kids and pets can be out in the garden a little bit more over the winter without turning it into a mud bath, you know. So I don't see any, from a kind of an ethical perspective, I don't see anything that's worse about artificial grass than, say, a small piece of paving or something like that. So, but by definition, they should all be pet friendly because they all dissipate moisture. Yeah. And you can also train your dog to go to it. You can kind of cajole and coax your dog into using that space and using that space only. And thereby, you leave the actual plants and the actual grass free and unaffected, you know.
Listeners looking for advice, they're moving house. How do they start packing, Hazel?
Oh, this is my favourite part.
Yeah, where do you start?
You have to do a declutter before you move because there's like whatever space you're going to, it's either bigger, smaller, different, you know, country potentially. There are things in your current home that you will not need or want or use in your new home or maybe won't have space.
Well, you don't waste time doing that. I move it all and, you know, then dump what I don't need.
I find, so what we want is in our new home to settle in as quickly as possible, to fall in love with those spaces as quickly as possible and reduce the stress. I feel like that would be, certainly for me, I'd feel like that would be very stressful.
So at the start.
Try then. And do small, like as soon as you know that there's a potential that you're moving to a new space, then start. Just pick a room at a time, slowly but surely, starting with big things, big ticket items to get those things gone. Again, working on exit strategy. It's not a quick hit, but just doing a bit of research about what's going where. You know, online Vinted is amazing. Charity shops love a donation. There's so many ways that we can get rid of our stuff sustainably now that I think, start sooner rather than later.
Yeah, I know. And then it takes so much time, doesn't it?
It is time consuming, but it'll be less so on the other side if you're prepared.
True. This listener wants a really, really, in capital letters, low maintenance garden, Brian. They're a bit like myself. What plants are the most sturdy? They're not green fingers.
Well, I mean, again, traditionally the low maintenance garden would have consisted of a lot of evergreen shrubs. So evergreen shrubs, by definition, when you put them in the ground, they're pretty maintenance free. They don't provide any headaches. The maintenance comes from things like herbaceous borders, grasses, a lot of flowering deciduous shrubs and trees. So if you can avoid those, you cut down on the maintenance tasks. But there's good news. There's a silver lining here for this listener because we're all about now embracing the lack of maintenance. We're all now about embracing
rewilding. I've been doing a bit of rewilding myself.
a little bit more scruffiness in the garden.
Lack of care.
No, not at all. I wouldn't call it neglect. I'd call it giving over some of our gardens to nature, you know. And again, the impediment to that would be, well, people would think that I am neglecting the garden. But if you have a lawn, for example, and you maybe cut a couple of strips through the middle of the lawn or around the lawn, it looks as though it's intentional. So it doesn't look neglected like that, you know. So I would very much encourage people to try and think about, when they're selecting planting, think about seasonality, think about elongating the flowering season, early food for pollinators, early flowering, mid-summer flowering, and then late flowering perennials, and then winter flowering shrubs. Try and prolong that season for our pollinator flying friends, small mammals, birds, provide food and sustenance for them at both ends of the season.
Listeners looking for your tips, Hazel, on organising the little shed, you know, packed with bikes, lawnmower, compost, everything you can possibly think of. It's just thrown in there, right?
Chucked in.
Paintbrushes all over the place.
So this is why it's so important in these smaller spaces to have good storage. So whether that's rack shelving, utilising the vertical space, even things like, you know, wall-mounted pegboards for all the small bitty bits.
Oh, good idea, yeah.
You know, like things that you'd see in an art room or a hobby place. You know, you can use those also in sheds, rack shelving, of course, because what you want is that when you've decided what's staying in the space and you've done your declutter, what's staying has to be organised in the sense of seasonal things, things we don't use all the time, up high, out of the way, heavy things always on the ground. Obviously, sheds, there's danger there, so just be careful. But seasonal items just away, things that you're using daily, like close at hand, visually, you know, at eye level. But I think there's lots of good, like stackable boxes, clear boxes, label the boxes, you know, so that you know actually what's
you know
there.
What's available.
And then when you're putting things away, it's somewhere to go.
Now, just to follow up on sprucing up garden furniture and storage, where would you recommend to find good storage units for the kind of the outdoor, the barbecue, the seating, all that kind of stuff? Like, where's good for sort of storing outdoor furniture?
So as in for covers and things, IKEA always has like a really good range and good budget friendly ranges. But I'm sure every outdoor, like Woody's I know, does a lot of garden furniture, obviously, and so has amazing options for storage. A lot of, like, online do a lot of research, but I think trying to buy Irish is obviously your In an ideal scenario, we're doing that.
Have you tips for sprucing up garden furniture?
Spruce. Well, again, it depends. I mean, we've wooden garden furniture will need a bit of replenishing. You know, if it's a hard wood, a thick wood like a mahogany, there is mahogany garden furniture out there, or some of the more exotic new hardwoods like ipe, hardwoods like that. They're not as porous as the old softer woods, so they don't take on as much moisture and they don't need as much maintenance. But nevertheless, they'll need a light sanding and a little bit of replenishing. It's an oil. You can get like a Ronseal, like a yacht oil or something like that.
It's and
that
probably kind of already feeds in the shed. Yeah. You know, like people are talking about what yeah. I do that old paint, maybe see if
there
it'll work
go.
For your furniture.
Shed. Yeah, there's half a tin of it in the shed. Just get it out and put it on the furniture.
It's on your lovely shelf labels.
I use the word garden lightly now when I'm describing my own back area, but for me, it's often a place of just total clutter, Hazel. Like there's just and so old pots and stuff.
And it's hard for you to... you know, relax in that area. And like when we do get a nice day like today, you want to be able to just go straight out there and make the most of it. Yeah. And so doing that one time big effort of just getting good storage, declutter what you don't need. Those pots, maybe they could be painted. Maybe you can start planting them based on Brian's advice, because I know I don't need to deadhead my hydrangeas apparently, which is like great news for me because I've no time. But it's about making it a space that you can enjoy and an extra room in your house.
We're going to have to get you back. Hopefully this good weather might continue for a little bit more than maybe 2 or hopefully 3 days. Brian Burke, Woody's DIY garden expert, RTE Super Garden Judge, Hazel Burton from The Home Reset. Thanks a million, folks, for joining us here on The Home Squad this Thursday.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk. Conversation that counts.